Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazons of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome into another D-backs podcast. Tim McMaster here from snowy, windy New York, New York, talking to Steve Gilbert, who's in, I think, short sleeves, maybe a bathing suit out in Arizona. It's a tale of two cities on the podcast, Steve, but happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you too, Tim. Yeah, we're getting not a nice Arizona weather out here. Don't want to rub it in for all those folks in the rest of the country.
Well, the good news is probably most of the people tuning into this podcast are also enjoying that weather, so you can all just laugh at me. But anyway, you got a chance to talk to Mike Hazen this week, the GM of the D-backs. There's a story up on Diamondbacks.com about that. And what came from that is one thing, not a whole lot, and that's because things continue to just drag. And that's something that he was asked about, right, Steve? Is why is this offseason going so slowly? And he didn't even have an answer.
Yeah, you know, I tried to give Mike a little bit of a break there over the holidays and didn't talk to him for a couple of weeks. And when I checked back in with him yesterday, I asked him what's going on, and he said, not a lot. So he said they continue to have conversations, but the market has just kind of been slow to develop this year. I did ask him why, as you pointed out, and he didn't really have an answer for that because, you know, he said it's hard when you're in the middle of it and you're so focused on your team to kind of be able to take a broad look and fully take in why other teams might be doing what they're doing at the moment, or why certain guys who you're not even into signing might not have signed yet. So he said it was very hard for him at this point to say why that was, but continues to believe, as I guess every GM that I see quoted these days, continues to believe that at some point things are going to get going with this market. Now, when that actually happens, we'll see.
Well, the fact is it has to at some point, because at some point these teams need players and the players need teams. So it has to come together eventually. But, man, it is going slow for sure. The good news, I guess, from the D-backs' perspective is maybe they have less to do than some other teams that have more glaring holes. That said, there is still some work. There's a lot of middle infielders, probably too many on the roster right now. And then the outfield needs some help as well. But other than that, they're in a pretty good place, right?
Yeah, they're in a good place. I mean, if they had to open a season today with this team, they could. I think, as you pointed out, there's a couple areas of need in the outfield and also maybe kind of making some space with their middle infield, and also possibly, some catching help. But they did strengthen the bullpen, which was something that they really wanted to do, and kind of give Torrey some options there late in the game at the back end. So if they had to today, they could start the season that way. And I did ask Mike Hazen that, and usually you'll get a GM that will answer it that way. But he said, sure, but I do believe that we're going to be able to get some things done here before spring training. So what those things are, though, remain to be seen, and when we're going to start to see a thaw, no pun intended, in the hot stove, we'll have to stay tuned for that, I guess.
Yeah, you can check it off by the holidays. I guess you have, President's Day, Martin Luther King Day coming up, and then there's Groundhog Day, and then Valentine's Day. We need to get these things done eventually. All right, you have five questions facing the D-backs in 2018 up on the site. It's a story that people can check out. I wanted to dive into those questions a little bit with you, Steve. Number one, how do they replace J.D. Martinez production? And obviously you're not going to replace the prolific home run rate he was swinging the bat at in 2017. So what direction do you think they need to go to replace that production?
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big things for them is this outfield situation right now. They've got Yasmani Tomas coming off an abdominal type injury that he has core surgery. I've never heard of that before, but a core surgery. So they really, as it stands right now, they will need him to be healthy and to be productive because they're kind of limited in the outfield with the loss of J.D. Martinez, and kind of leaves them with A.J. Pollock and David Peralta and Tomas as their three outfielders. They could use some depth back there. So I think they're going to try to get some depth, and they're going to hope that Tomas can kind of bounce back injury-wise and maybe be the player that he was the year before when he did put up some pretty decent offensive numbers. So that's kind of how I look at the outfield going.
All right, the next question is Zach back, and of course that is the possible trade rumors you hear about Zach Greinke. You heard a little more about them earlier in the winter than right now, but I guess the thing with that is, Steve, if you're going to trade him, obviously you need to replace him, and that's the kind of conundrum that Hazen and company are facing.
Yeah, certainly people talk about his contract and about $126.5 million or something left on it, and wouldn't it be great if they could move that and free up money? And it would be. However, as you pointed out, they're looking to contend this year. So do you trade the ace starter off your rotation without having a replacement in mind? And also, you're going to probably have to eat part of that contract in order to move it. Not as much as you would have, say, before last year before he put up 17 wins and threw over 200 innings. So I think that there's a tendency to be speculated about that. Is it possible? I'm sure it's possible, but it would seem like that is a complicated maneuver in terms of they would have to then negotiate how much money they're going to actually pick up, and then find a way to make up for that in the rotation so that they could still be competitive in 2018.
The next question is Archie Bradley ready to be the closer? It's something we've discussed on this podcast before, but the further we get into this offseason, Steve, it seems like it's more and more likely going to be the equation for Arizona.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see that. Now they've got Boxberger, who they acquired from the Rays. They've got Hirano, who they signed from the Japanese League, and they've got Bradley as their three late-inning options. They said probably going into spring training, they will not have a designated closer, but they hope to have one coming out of spring training. So that remains to be seen. Possible that they use Archie in a role kind of like the Indians use Andrew Miller, where while he's not technically the closer, he pitches some of their bigger innings, kind of setting the way up for Allen in the ninth. So maybe Archie is a multi-inning threat or a guy to get them out of jams before turning the ball over to somebody else, or maybe Archie will be the guy. I think that's going to be kind of fascinating to see, and certainly Archie had a great year last year and has the stuff to be the closer and seems to have the mentality to be a closer as well. There's just always that big jump when a guy makes a jump from the eighth inning to the ninth inning. There always seems to be something a little different about the final three outs.
Up next, who is up the middle and who gets traded, I guess, is the other side of that.
Yeah, and you pointed it out, they have a surplus of middle infielders. You look at Brandon Drury, Nick Ahmed, Chris Owings, Ketel Marte, Daniel Descalso. There's a lot of guys there and not probably enough space for all of them. So this would be a situation where they could trade. They do have some depth with which to trade. A lot of the speculation has been focused around Brandon Drury, who's a guy kind of seemed to be a little bit of the odd man out at times towards the end of last year, with Ketel Marte playing first at second, and then when Chris Owings got hurt, obviously taking over the everyday job at short. And Drury's a guy that would be attractive as a trade piece for other teams because he's a pre-arbitration player, so he's not making a ton of money. And he has shown that he can hit at the big league level, and he's probably a better third baseman than second baseman, but he can play both. So he certainly would be an attractive trade chip. Some of the other guys might be as well, but he seems kind of to be the most logical guy if they were to make a move there with their infield situation.
And then the final question that you put out there was, what will the catcher rotation look like? Obviously, Chris Iannetta has switched teams within the division, re-signed back with Colorado. The D-backs were in a weird spot a year ago in that they made a three-catcher system work. That's pretty rare in baseball.
Yeah, and they were able to do that because Chris Herman's versatility. I mean, he can play first, he can play third in a pinch, he can play all three outfield positions. I mean, we saw him 2 years ago start a game in center field and Coors Field, and you don't often see a catcher come out from behind the plate and start a game in center field. So his versatility allows them to carry three catchers. Losing Chris Iannetta, I think, is something that is a blow for this team because he was their best offensive catcher, and he also came up with some really big hits for them and was a big presence in that clubhouse as well. So, you know, right now they've got Jeff Mathis, they have Herman, and they have John Ryan Murphy as their three catchers. I really think that they would probably benefit from adding somebody to that mix, whether or not they're able to do that financially or whether or not there's a catcher out there that kind of fits the bill. They're very much a defensive-first catching organization under Mike Hazen and Torrey Lovello. So whether or not they're able to do that, I don't know, but I would certainly like to see them add somebody.
We will get the answers to all of these questions throughout 2018 season, some of them before we even get to spring training and opening day. So certainly something we'll keep an eye on as this offseason eventually has to warm up and we got to get some moves going. So we will be right with you as that happens here on the podcast. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Diamondbacks edition. For Steve Gilbert, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.